Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Good morning to you. Doug Gottlieb, Jeff Schwartz. In for Dan the Danette, Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio app. And we did get a chance to see a very, very entertaining Monday Night Football game in which the Washington Commanders finally ended the streak of consecutive preseason games won by the Baltimore Ravens. It did become a thing. It was a good drinking game last night, if you're into that sort of thing. And, of course, it was a celebration of the new ownership of the Washington Commanders. There's also an announcement of the new Undisputed I want to get into. And then there's college football on the horizon. You mind if we start with the new Undisputed? I know we want to talk college football.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so was it officially announced today, Jay Stu, or is that just leaked by whoever covers TV and radio, that sort of thing?
Oh, no, it was made official. Michael Irvin will be joining the show.
Okay, so the playmaker leaves ESPN, and is he what's his status with the NFL Network? Because that was like
put on pause
because of the accusations of the Super Bowl, but then there's video where it doesn't appear to be any sort of substance to the accusations or whatever. Anyway, Michael Irvin coming over to be on Undisputed. They're going to have Michael Irvin, Richard Sherman, Lil Wayne, and Keyshawn Johnson.
Yes, I think so.
And then Rachel Nichols, is she going to be the host? Is that the idea? She's going to be there every day. So there was some question about whether or not she'd be a debater. She'll be somehow involved. I know we all, there's a little bit of guilty pleasure to it, right? And a little bit of hate liking to it. People like to say, I don't watch that stuff. But you clearly do because they make a lot of money. So somebody's watching. What do you think?
So I don't sit down at the TV and watch a lot of these shows. Sure. I just don't have the opportunity.
But you have it on the background?
But the social media clips obviously go very viral. Mm-hmm. And I think the cast of crew they have will end up having that effect where the things that are being said by those individuals who have big personalities, that's what it's about, right? Big personalities. It'll go viral. The clips of them arguing will end up, you know, having people react and having people acknowledge what they say. And that's the most important part of these shows. The Lil Wayne part of it, I'm kind of excited to see him debate sports. And I know him and Bayless have a friendship. I think the cast is good. It'll be entertaining to watch.
I actually think it's pretty good too. I'm not like a, I was, I guess the best way to say it is, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I love watching Skip on TV or love watching Stephen A on TV, but you know, you have to, and I actually don't think you need the chemistry thing, right? So I go, you need chemistry. Like, no, you're kind of debating. You don't need to have super great chemistry. But yeah, I kind of think it's more impressive, at least on paper, than what ESPN's throwing out there. I like Marcus Spears a great deal. I think he's really good on TV. He's a smart former football player, whatever. But like, I don't know, Michael Irvin's got a high entertainment factor. They recovered quite well. And it's interesting because Shannon's now going over to First Take, right? Is that?
Yes, he is. Yeah, they're going to swap.
Right. So, but Shannon only gets a day on First Take, whereas he was every day on Undisputed.
I think the hardest part about doing those shows is just the kind of once a week nature. If you're one of the panelists, like, I think it's hard to get in a rhythm sometimes with the person you're working with.
Hard to get up that early once a week. It's easier to get up that early if it's a routine.
Yes.
You know?
And so finding that rhythm might be tough early on to figure out kind of the roles that everyone's going to take. And because, you know, obviously you, if a lot of topics need multiple days of debate, and you hear what someone says and you come back and you counter them, which obviously won't be the case here, but I think it's a good lineup. I'll tell you this. I will tune in out of sort of kind of curiosity early on, at least, to see how the all these pairings worked out together.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the way it works in my brain is the getting up early thing. Like, if you've ever filled in on a morning show like this one, you know, so when you're in Los Angeles, this is a 6 a.m. show, you're up at 4:15, 4:30, which is fine. If like that's your routine, it's not crazy. But if your routine is, hey, I get up at 6 every day or 6:30 or 7 every day, and then all of a sudden on a one, like if it's a week, it's way better than if it's a one-off. A one-off throws your whole, because then all of a sudden you get to tonight and you're tired at like 8 o'clock, and then you wake up again the next day at 4:30, like now I have nothing to do. And I love that Kobe Bryant used to work out at 4 in the morning, but I'm not Kobe Bryant, and I'm not playing for the Lakers right now.
I am not an early morning workout guy. I don't understand people that do that. But your point, this is the only point about living on the East Coast that actually is helpful for me is morning radio, because I'm up early. You know, I get 6 a.m. is a decent time to wake up. I'm not, you know, it doesn't ruin my day. But yeah, the early morning workout stuff, I never understood that.
I got to tell you, I actually like the morning workout thing. It's one of those, you get it done, you're like, okay, the rest of the day is downhill, it's easy. But it is a hard thing to do. One thing you were kind of starting to touch in on was, I think East Coast is way better for sports than West Coast is. And I live on the West Coast and grew up on the West Coast.
Watching sports?
Yes. Especially when you have kids your kid's age, because that, you know, you're a Pac-12 guy, right? That Pac-12 after dark, everybody's asleep. You get to go down in your basement or downstairs and watch, and nobody's bothering you. Sunday night football game, like they're done, nobody's bothering you. I love that part.
That's absolutely true, except the hardest part for me with my children is, you know, they're 7 and 9. They go to bed at 8:30. I can't really watch a lot of sports during the week with them, and that's kind of like the bummer, because, you know, games don't start. Like last night didn't start till 8 o'clock. We watched a quarter, and my son went to sleep. So other than that, yeah, I mean, I do like the quiet house at like 9 o'clock at night. My wife's already sleeping after a, you know, day at work, and I'm just watching football by myself. That is definitely part of it, but again, like, I think it's hard to be a sports fan if you're a child on the East Coast, because the games, especially if you're a fan of West Coast teams, the games, just you can't watch them. They're just too late to watch.
And well, look, I think I will tell you this. I think what you're going to find, and maybe your kids are different, but kids don't watch games nearly as much as we did.
Correct.
They watch clips.
Highlights.
They watch TikTok. They watch Instagram. They watch highlights. It's all in little short little bursts. And then they think they know everything because they're like, yeah, but that's not actually real. That's not actually what took place. But they don't, you know, they just don't. And we feed them more and more short clips, and they eat it up like it's soup. They like sports, but the idea of getting them, and there are some, and I'm sure we're going to be besieged by tweets. My son, we watch every game. Like, that's great. I'm telling you, in the highest percentage of young people watch less and less games, instead watch it in clips, because they think that's a lot easier and then they can be on their phone the rest of the time. Or yeah, when they're watching something, they watch with the phone in their hands. And they're like, look, like my daughter, she's 17. You know, we've binge watched shows before. Her favorite show is Lucifer. I remember watching Lucifer with her, and I'm like, you're not even watching the show. She's like, yeah, I am. Like, we're on their phone. Like, yeah, I can do both. So I think
I've never understood the people at an event that watch the event through their cell phone. Like, if you're going to record something, that's great, but like, move your head away from the cell phone to like look at live action. Plus, how often does anyone actually go back and watch the video they record of the sport? Have you done that? I've recorded every now and then. I don't go back and watch any of them.
No, none of it. None of it. None of it. That's the worst. That's like the, who was it who was sitting front row?
Well, I was just going to say that my one engagement with Jeff Schwartz on Twitter, and I hope we have many in the future, was the day after LeBron hit that shot, and there was that still shot of everybody on their camera except for one old dude in the front. And I just pointed out, you know, thank God for this one old guy for not needing a phone. And Jeff Schwartz was like, dude, that's Phil Knight.
That's Phil Knight. Yeah. Phil Knight. There was another instance of that recently where somebody else, there was another recent thing. I can't remember what it is, where like everybody but one person had their cell phone out.
What was the purpose of going to the game?
If you want to take the selfie that you're at the game when you get there so that you have the proof, because everybody says, I was at that game. And you're like, approve it. You're like, all right, here's it. Look at my Instagram. But the actual recording of the thing, instead of watching with your eyes, I don't understand.
Look, I think I have zero. I think I took zero videos at the Chiefs Niners Super Bowl the entire day. I'm not gonna. I watch it with my eyes. What am I taking a video for? I just don't get paying $2,000 to go sit at Taylor Swift and then watch the concert through your phone the entire time.
Well, that when people like FaceTime other people as like not even a humble brag, like yeah, I'm here. And then they want to show where they are that they were again same thing. They want to show that they were there. The only times I've ever recorded at a concert and is when I have friends who couldn't make the concert and you're like, hey, just here's, or friends who are like, yeah,
it sucks to be you. You can't
I don't know if I want to go, you know, I don't know. I want to go. I'm like, all right, here's what it looks like. Here's what you missed, buddy. You know,
that's fair. That one instance, but you're not up with your phone for 3.5 hours.
No.
Recording the entire concert that you're at.
No, not in any way. No.
What would you pay to go see Taylor Swift with one of your children?
I can tell you what my brother paid, but yeah. I don't want to divulge because he. But we were hoping for a deal, and we end up getting he got good seats, but it was a lot.
Yeah.
I've only paid. So I have a daughter who's a rocker, right? By the way, it's the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. Jeff Schwartz, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan the Danettes. They'll be live in Ireland on Thursday, Friday, and I think Saturday as well. They'll be doing some content, getting ready for that Notre Dame-Navy game. So my daughter's a rocker, so the only times I don't really enjoy paying for tickets. I mean, it's part of one of the perks for working for iHeart is figure out a way to not pay for tickets. But I have, and the only times I've paid is for my kids. I have one who, she's a metal guitar bassist, and so we've been to Primus, Les Claypool's amazing, to Goo Goo Dolls, to Iron Maiden, to a ton of different types of shows because of the bassist. Those ones I'll pay a couple $100 for. I have her sister is, she just likes the big shows and likes country, so they went out and did Stagecoach, and then I took her to Morgan Wallen, and I end up picking up the tab for a couple of her friends, and just so she could have like a surprise and like a treat, yeah, whatever. And I think those were a couple $100, but I'm not paying a grand for a kid to go watch a concert. Like, come on, man.
I'm not either. That's not happening.
No, not so much. But as I think people saw now, Bill Belichick's seen himself as a Swiftie because he went to the concert and then talked about the concert at a press conference going back 2 days ago. Speaking of that Notre Dame and Navy game, it's interesting because so much of the talk of college football is about the conferences expanding or the Pac-12 going away more so than the actual product. Like, I would challenge people to be honest with themselves. And with the exception of maybe Caleb Williams, can you name another college football player who doesn't play for your school?
Can I do that?
I know you can because you do Pac-12 radio, right? Like, I know you, I'm not saying you. I'm saying most people.
I would say no, because right now the quarterback at Georgia is unknown. There's no quarterback at Alabama announced. There's no quarterback at Ohio State announced. I think that's part of the problem. There's not like these, outside of Drake May and Caleb Williams, a lot of the major programs don't have household quarterbacks right now.
No, and because everybody changes places every year, or seemingly does, with the transfer portal, you don't know. You need name tags on guys.
Yes, absolutely.
And I actually think we're in an era, and look, I'm done fighting what I knew would be a reality, which is it's not name, image, and likeness. It's buying players, right? That's all it is. Because if they had name, image, and likeness, well, then you'd know who the hell they were, right? You would have some sense of who they are, and you don't, because they're associated. But you're still going to watch. You're going to watch Colorado play TCU a week from now on Fox, knowing I don't know who TCU's quarterback is. Do you? I don't know who any of their star players. I got to know them last year on their March to a national championship game, and I have, outside of Shedeur Sanders, and he's the only one I know at Colorado, and that's because he was Deion's quarterback, and he's Deion's quarterback now at Colorado. Those are the only guy. That's the only guy I know in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I mean, college football, though, and college sports, though, have always sort of been about the name on the front rather than the back.
Correct.
I mean, it's not any different, but now it's even worse because there are so many players that moving each year. I mean, you got to, and now too, because of the number changes where certain players can wear different numbers now, it makes it even worse when you have guys who change their number each season. It is tough to build hype if you don't know the name of the quarterback on all the teams. That's part of, I think, why the season maybe feels a little different this year. Plus, Georgia is just so good, and they have the most easiest schedule of all time for a champion. Again, there's a lot of, I think, just like settling for Georgia winning a third championship in a row, which hasn't been done in so many years, and it's hard to do for that exact reason because of complacency and scheduling, and there are good teams, obviously, in the SEC. But I think your point about the conference realignment really makes this season it's tough to stomach, right? I'm a Pac-12 guy, as you mentioned. Parents are Bruin alums. I went to Oregon. I cover the Pac-12 full-time. And this is the best season the Pac-12, on paper, has ever had. There's no other season like this. We have four teams with legit playoff aspirations, and then a fifth team in Oregon State who won 10 games last year, who's probably winning 10 again. They upgraded a quarterback this offseason. And my thought is sort of, almost, well, what happens next year, obviously, when everyone breaks apart? Like, this season has, the excitement for the season for me has just gone way down because of the next year's movement where all these teams, even just Oklahoma and Texas, are going to, but everyone's just leaving. It's everyone's spreading around the country and going to different conferences. This season doesn't feel as much fun as it should be.
Well, I would tell you that I think the whole Pac-12 thing last year was completely fraudulent, because you had like five teams at the bottom that were so awful.
They
that,
were, yes.
That no one lost to them.
Correct.
So it gradually inflated their record. Whereas at a conference, who'd you actually beat, right? Which is how you actually figure out if anybody's really good. They just all beat up on the bad teams. No one lost to any of the bad teams.
There was one, I actually talked about this yesterday on my show, or Monday on my show, because we were talking about win-loss records for this year's teams. And I made the point last year that there was only one game last season in the entire Pac-12 conference where it was a major, major upset. And it was Arizona as a 20-point underdog beating UCLA in the Rose Bowl. That was it. We didn't have this year when the bottom has some upsets and it ruins the top. You're exactly right. There wasn't any of that last season.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting this year if the bottom is better and it makes the top look not as good because they lose games, when the reality is the top's actually pretty good, but the bottom is better, so it's more competitive. I don't know. The sport needs USC to get in the college football playoff, because you can't just keep. They won't. Like, maybe not. Whatever. Like, you don't. You think they won't be? I'm just saying the sport needs it, because you need a tentpole school in the West. Otherwise, Why would anybody watch, you know, west of the Rocky Mountains?
Oh, I'm in a strong agreement with you. We've seen when Oregon and Washington have made the playoffs, the ratings are super high because the West Coast actually pays attention to the playoff. I think as good as our conference is this year, we won't have a playoff team again. So we're going to, the same situation is going to happen when, you know, the furthest team, you know, West is going to be Michigan in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories. For 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
Good morning to you. Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio, along with Jeff Schwartz. I'm Doug Gottlieb. So, Jeff, here's my question about the Jets.
Yes.
Is it going to work?
What does work mean?
Well, you know the expectations. Expectations are at least playoffs, and then, you know, I mean, is it a playoff team? Does it? Everyone thinks, well, they were a quarterback away. Is now they clearly have a quarterback. Is it going to work?
I think they're 50-50 for the playoffs, and I don't think in year one they're going to have a magical playoff run. They play in a tough division, as we know. Defensive regression is a thing in the NFL, where 1 year you're really good, the next year you drop back a little bit. That's sort of typically what happens. There's obviously exceptions to that rule over the years, but most often there's a little bit of a drop back. Now, obviously, the upgrade on quarterback can make up for the drop on defense, but Doug, I don't know if you pay paid attention much to them. I know that we sort of all have. Their offensive line is a complete wreck right now. And nothing that they do with the quarterback position is going to make their offensive line magically better. They have a lot of problems on that unit right now. And if they can't get that fixed, and it could be fixed with as simple as like Dwayne Brown just kind of coming back, their left tackle.
Dwayne Brown's 39 years old.
I know, no, but there's a lot
like,
of...
Well, he'll be fine. Like, he's 39 years... First of all, you're betting on him to be nearly what he has been at 39. And then you're also betting on him to not get hurt again, whereas we all know the older you get, the more likely you are to get hurt again.
So if Dwayne Brown, again, if... comes back healthy left tackle that fixes that position, allows Mekhi Becton to go back to right tackle. But there's, you know, let's talk about moving their best guard right now to back to tackle. Like, if their offensive line can't play well, they're not going to do very well this season. And Rodgers is older, is going to be getting hit a little bit. He's not as mobile as he used to be. Again, once you get older, to your point, you stop moving as well. And that to me is a huge concern. And in a division where I think Miami is really, 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 really going to be good this season. They add Vic Fangio, defense coordinator, very underrated awesome. Addition to this Dolphins team, I think, with the players they have on defense. If Tua stays healthy, the offense we saw last year are going to be really good. I think the Patriots are better than people want to give them credit for. They have a real offensive coordinator now, a real one. Last year they had an offensive line coach and a defensive coordinator and a special teams coach calling plays on offense. That's not how it works. They have a real offensive coordinator and a real defense. Like, they're going to be good. The Jets have a tough schedule. I don't think they're going to see a lot of as much success as they hope. I think they're fighting for a wild card berth, and they're losing that wild card round.
They open up. I don't know if you've seen their schedule.
Oh, it's bad. Right?
They open up Bills on Monday Night Football at home, at Dallas against Cowboys, Patriots at home, defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs, also at home. They go to Denver, take on the Broncos. Of course, we know they'll be a, you know, because of the coaching change there and their offensive coordinator was the head coach there. Then they got Eagles, Giants on the Giants, Chargers, before they go to the Raiders, then back to the Bills. Like, man, that is, give me the Falcons early in the season. Give me the Cardinals early in the season. Let's welcome in Kerry Rhodes. He joins us. Of course, he played safety for the Jets and the Cardinals, and he joins us here on the Dan Patrick Show. Kerry, give me your sense. Everyone's talking about the offensive line. How problematic is that going to be early on in the season?
Well, it is problematic. What's up, Doug and Jeff? It's problematic, but it's one of those things where when you get a veteran quarterback, a lot of times you're able to mask some of those things. So I'm sure they know that the line has sucked throughout training camp so far. And, I mean, we've heard that from Salah on Hard Knocks, right? But at the end of the day, when you bring in a veteran guy, I mean, you can look at those Tom Brady teams in New England. There was years where that offensive line wasn't great either or even really, really good. But being able to mix-match those guys and put them in the best positions to be successful and a quarterback that knows the offense the way that Tom did, it's the same situation that's coming here with Hackett coming back to the Jets. So you have familiarity with all your hot reads, all your hot routes, all your checks. And so, you know, Aaron knows that he's going to get rid of the ball quick early and they're going to run the ball. And I think that patchwork line will get them through that gauntlet of those first couple of games where it's tough, and they'll be right in the thick of it as it moves on.
Nate Hackett has not been a good offensive coordinator. The numbers back it up. What changes with Aaron Rodgers? Just that he has Aaron Rodgers now and he becomes something that he hasn't been? Or do you think there's still some question marks about his ability to lead a successful offense?
Oh, that's going to be question marks for sure. After leaving the situation he left last year and it being such a mess, I mean, for lack of better words. But, I mean, the success that Hackett's had with Aaron, I mean, obviously that speaks for itself. The familiarity helps. And Aaron being able to have a situation where, you know, he's comfortable and being able to go to the line and put them in the best possible play. Because, you know, a lot of times when you have veteran guys, you're not just going to the line with one play call. And, you know, in the situation last year, I'm sure they didn't have that same flexibility with Russell Wilson. So I'm looking at the familiarity here being a real, real, real big positive. And, yes, he hasn't had success in the last few years, but with Aaron Rodgers, he has.
Okay, Kerry, I have a question here, and maybe, Jeff, you can hop in as well, okay? So yeah. I get, Kerry, what you're saying. Like, look, you go up to the line of scrimmage. You run this offense. You know it like the back of your hand. You know all the options. Okay, you're super familiar with it, which is really comforting to a quarterback, right? You know the protections. Yeah. You know the lingo. Nothing has changed. It's great. Right. What about the rest of those guys, though? They don't do they have the same level of comfort when you're making changes?
I think they do. I mean, I think that's why Aaron came in to all the OTAs and all the mini camps where he hasn't done that in the past, right? I'm sure he knew that that was going to be a big emphasis for them guys going into the season. I mean, the chain of communication, I'm sure, has been open throughout this whole process. So Aaron, you know, showing that he's been such a great leader in this situation with the Jets has been very promising. And seeing him go early, I'm sure they've gone through a lot of these things. And they're going through all the tape, and that's what the preseason is for, Doug. You know, I mean, so, I mean, these guys are going to work it out. And I'm, like I said, I mean, I know I sound like a fan right now, but the fact of the matter is, it's like, yeah, Aaron's not going through a situation where he doesn't think he's going to have a chance to succeed. So him pouring all his leadership skills into this situation and knowing, you know, the best possible outcome is for them all to be together and work is the thing. He's done a great job of that. So I see them all being on the same page.
Some of the issues with Aaron Rodgers' offense the last couple of years is kind of the locking on a wide receiver, kind of choosing favorites.
Right.
Does that sort of just stop with a new team, or is that something you think he still has to kind of work through as he kind of finds himself with a new roster?
Yeah, I mean, when you have a guy like Devontae Adams, you're gonna throw the ball to that guy. You know what I mean? So there are some guys that kind of break the mold, break the rule when it comes to keying in on guys, but I think in this situation, he does like Jared Wilson a lot, but I think he's going to spread the ball around. Huh? And I know that because of the other signings they brought in, right? They brought in some familiarity, again, that word, with some of his guys from Green Bay. And so he will have outlet guys to go to, and they will know the text, right? So you also not just bringing in the quarterback that knows, but you're bringing in, you know, Lazard, you're bringing in the Cobb. These people know the offense as well. So the communication is going to be open, and it's going to be a chance for them all to really learn this thing and hit the ground running.
In full disclosure, I am a Rodgers fan, right? I've been the Rodgers defender for years, right?
Yeah.
But I also know that he does have a tendency when things don't go well to not have the greatest body language in the world, right? And that teams, people feed off that. Like it's the old, your body language screams what you're really thinking and feeling.
Yep.
I wonder this kind of mythical idea of going out and trading for David Bakhtiari, who the Packers are like, dude, we're not trading our best lineman when we think we're pretty good. And it just seems so, I don't know, to me, that's the, man, he doesn't like this offensive line thing at all. That's what it screams to me. And if he starts getting hit, like that's when the bad Aaron comes out. That's what I fear, Kerry, is that everything's hunky-dory now when there's no adversity. You start getting hit. No quarterback likes getting hit, especially when they're 39. And Aaron is somebody whose body language can change dramatically when things aren't going the way he wants.
Yeah, I don't like to get bumped in when I'm walking through a crowd. So, no, when you're 39, you don't want to get hit as a quarterback for sure. And you're right, Doug. That stuff is true about him. I mean, you can't hide the fact that's the truth. But I also think, again, from what it seems like, I can't say I think, but from what it seems like, you know, he has this refreshed attitude about all this. And I know he knows that all eyes are on him. He's going to be on his best behavior right now. But yeah, when the fire hits the fan, we'll see. I think that he really wants to go in there and win and prove that he can do it outside of Green Bay, and he has this chip on his shoulder. And we see guys like Joe Montana in his old in the 90s when he left San Fran. Nobody really thought he was going to do much in Kansas City. He took that chance to the playoffs.
Sure.
And, I mean, I think it's the AFC Championship.
AFC Championship, so, that's correct, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I see it playing out similar to that.
No, I'm with you. I can see a world in which I think all of this was triggered, honestly, when Tom Brady came in and beat them in Green Bay. You know, and it's like his first year, and he takes off his helmet. He looks like $1 million. Aaron Rodgers looks like, you know, he's been in Alaska for years, you know, like all worn and weathered. And he's like, what am I doing here? I want out. Let me go around the league. Let me go around the league a little bit. We got a chance to see Washington and Baltimore last night, and we're going crazy over Baltimore's Zay Flowers and Odell Beckham Jr. But it's the old idea of are we gonna turn Lamar Jackson into a pocket passer?
Mm-hmm.
Does that work in your mind?
I think it works. The one thing about Lamar that a lot of people kind of, I mean, gloss over or thing to forget is he was in a pro-style offense at Louisville, right, with Petrino. And, I mean, obviously I went to Louisville, so I got to see those guys a lot. I went to see them in training camp. I saw them early in the season. And obviously the design runs were flashy, and that was part of what they did as well. But Petrino runs a pro-style offense. And so being able to make reads and make throws and read the field is part of his package. But, you know, I think the one thing that Baltimore did, they did two things. Number one, they built the offense around a player and his talents, which is great. Like, that's part of maturity. That's part of being a really good coach in this league, being able to adapt to your best players and put them in a position to succeed. But at a point, there becomes a moment where you have to adjust again. People are going to start adjusting to what you do as well. So sure, they didn't do that with Roman. And now you get a chance with Monken to have a fresh set of eyes, a fresh set of ideas, and also build around the players that you have now. And the players they have now are guys that can get open at the receiver position. So, I mean, don't put it past Lamar being able to read the field and make passes, because he can.
We had a discussion earlier about kind of the practice style now and the playing reps in the preseason. Yeah. We've kind of noticed that older coaches play their players and younger coaches don't in the preseason. Is there a preferred method, you think, to getting ready? Because I know you played an era, so did I, when you played in the preseason. And now we see younger coaches that don't play players that feels like they need the preseason reps. So Justin Fields and Anthony Richardson, even Lamar's not playing at all in this offense, in this brand new offense in the preseason.
Yeah, you need to play a little bit. I'm from the old school, too. I think the sweat equity that comes with playing and just, you know, the callus that comes from playing, like, you need that. And I know, like, you see all these guys having these long season-ending injuries, and they're having these, injuries that are keeping them away from the game for such a long time. Obviously, you want to protect them, and that makes sense from the outside looking in. But once you're in it, you have to go through the wars. You have to go through the battles. Your body has to get adjusted to playing aggressive type of football. And I think they're stunting these kids and not giving them a chance to be successful by not letting them go out there and just get some reps. I mean, even when I was playing, I mean, I came in as a rookie in 2005 as a starter. I mean, we still would play at least two or three series or two series. Just get your, you know, just get your feet wet and start being able to see the game and see the field from, you know, from that perspective when you're not hitting each other. So I definitely believe in you have to play a little bit.
Yeah. Gary, we just want to hit somebody. Let's just be honest. Right? I need to hit somebody. Right? That first hit, you're like, whoo, okay. Okay, let's go. Kerry Rhodes, you can hear him on weekends here on Fox Sports Radio. Of course, played for the Jets, played for the Cardinals. Was a good one. Really good on radio as well. Kerry, thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate it. Thank you, Jeff.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I feel like I'm on my skating rink in Orange in the 1980s, right?
What was that dance club at Knott's Berry Farm? Was that Cloud Nine? Did you go there?
I never went to Cloud Nine. Wasn't there one at Disneyland? My brother and sister used to belong to the one at Disneyland. So this is a real thing, Jeff. You grew up in the Valley, right? And you're younger.
I grew up in West L.A.
Whatever, close enough. Same thing.
The Valley in West L.A.
All right, whatever. You know,
yeah, sure.
So in Orange County, where I grew up, by the way, Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. Jeff is Jeff Schwartz. I'm Doug Gottlieb. No, we're not trying to make a minion here. It's not Two Live Jew, but it could be. Anyway, he grew up in West L.A. West L.A. is where UCLA is. It's where all the rich people live.
Nailed it, right?
There you go. Anyway, rich people, Hollywood types, and that's about it. Whereas I grew up with the real people in Orange County, Orange, California. Anyway, so there used to be, and Jay Stu's a North Orange County guy. He's Brea. I'm Central Orange County, Orange. And there used to be these like teen dance clubs at Knott's Berry Farm and at Disneyland, in an effort to get, because teens didn't used to want to go there. It wasn't cool, and it made it kind of cool. And it was like a safe place you could drop off your kids. And it was like a club, but, you know, without the blow and all the other stuff that go on in West L.A., for example, right?
Oh, yeah, that was me as a kid. Yep.
Right, I understand that the reason you were, in fact, a tight end, but it was the cocaine problem when you were a kid, which led you to have to recoup, go to rehab, come back, be a lineman, right?
Exactly, yes.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jay Stu, did you go to the one at Knott's Berry Farm?
That was the one that I hung out at. I think that was maybe more on my budget, Knott's Berry Farm, and it got real sketchy at night.
Yes.
This is the 80s.
It still gets a little sketchy now with the Knott's Scary Farm when you get late at night, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of sketch there as well. Speaking of Southern California, isn't it weird how USC has changed? Right, to those of us who grew up here, that used to be the school that, you know, B's and C's got you to USC degrees, right? And now it's an incredibly difficult school to go get into. They named a new athletic director yesterday.
Yes.
Jennifer Cohen comes in. She was at the University of Washington. Like you cover the Pac-12. I talked to some other athletic directors. Everybody likes and respects her. She had to make a quick change in football coach. That's worked. Right, basketball hasn't really worked, but overall athletic department I think is doing well. What do you think of the hire?
Yeah, the basketball hire hasn't worked, but I think that it was the right hire at the time, right? And there was some success early on with Hopkins. I love the hire because it's one of those where we're not going to find out 4 years later that there were issues at Cincinnati with, you know, we're watching this case with the way that her management style and anything, you know, that happened otherwise, right? Everyone that has worked with her has only positive things to say. She's done an absolutely fabulous job at Washington. She raised money for a stadium, from stadium renovation. She hired Kalen DeBoer. I think Washington fans are really worried that if Lincoln Riley leaves the NFL at some point, that their coach will be at USC, but it's a hire that you make, that winning programs make, right? That winning athletic departments make. I think she'll do a fabulous job there. There's no scandals coming up. They didn't hire a former USC person, which they didn't do with Mike Bone either. But I think it was a very solid hire that you won't have any problems with.
Okay, so now that we think there's some settling, right? in the college football landscape. Let's take out Cal and Stanford are screwed. And, you know, they just are. There's just no other way. So they're obviously, it's going to hurt. I mean, I don't know what that world looks like for Cal and Stanford. As well as Oregon State and Washington State. The guess is that there's some sort of Mountain West, Pac-12 combination, agreement, whatever. Take those ones out of it. Of the ones that joined the new conferences, who benefits the most, who benefits the least?
Well, who benefits the most are TV networks.
I mean the schools. Nobody cares about the TV networks. Nobody's just sitting there going like, hey, good for Fox, huh? Let's go up top.
I mean, you asked who benefits. I would argue that no one benefits the schools. I mean,
that's
Oklahoma,
not true.
Texas now. Oklahoma.
For Colorado, game changer. Lifesaver for them. Right? Because it gets them into Texas where they can actually get players. It's a league they can be more competitive in.
Sure, the Pac-12 hasn't been great until the last couple of seasons. They could have been competitive otherwise. They had one good. They've, by the way, had the worst record in the Pac-12 conference since they joined. That's not a. They can recruit Texas if they want now. That's the talking point to me. Programs that are national, like the brand of Colorado with
Colorado
Dion.
Colorado is not a national brand, dude.
Dion, they are.
Yes.
They should be able to recruit Texas without playing in the Big 12.
No, but now they play in Texas. Now, look, it doesn't matter. Location doesn't matter as much now because kids don't come because of any other reason other than how much money you're going to give me. Right? That's the real, like.
That's most of it, but not always.
Not always. It's also, do you play? Can you come back home? Do you play? You know, chance to play, style of play, all that stuff. But it's at the end of the day, they're going where they're going to get the most money, and then the other things factor in.
I was not thinking about the Big 12. I was thinking about more of the SEC and Big 10 movement. For the Big 12, I think Arizona will benefit from this. I think Colorado, as you mentioned, going and just playing in the Big 12. No one has talked about this very much, I think, but Utah immediately becomes the best football program in the Big 12. Who's better than Utah in the Big 12?
I don't know if I agree with that. Now, look, what they have is they've also been able to recruit Southern California well. Does that change?
Utah has better players than they've ever
had.
Yes,
they had better players then. Are you going to be able to continue to get better players when you have more well-funded programs, right? The difference in the Pac-12 and the Big 12 is the level of funding and commitment to what used to be facilities and now to NIL, right?
How do you think TCU got so good?
They went out and bought a really good team.
Sure, but they have to do that year after year.
They have the money and they have the commitment to it. Whereas Cal and Stanford wouldn't do it. Oregon State and Washington State couldn't do it.
The difference in Utah, specifically to them, is they are now getting all the players from Utah that are 4- and 5-star kids that they never used to get. And the Big 12 is not coming into Utah and taking those players from Utah. I think Utah, Colorado, Arizona, I think Arizona State's a neutral for me of those movements into the Big 12.
I'm going to tell you who the biggest loser is, and it's going to surprise you. All right, that's coming up next. Plus, what do we see from Monday Night Football? It might surprise you as well. That's next in the Dan Patrick Show.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.